Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are 7,819 perpetrators of childhood sexual abuse in these files. That is 7,819. That's not a number before known today or ever revealed by the Boy Scouts of America. Secondly, she revealed under oath that in her audit working for the Boy Scouts of America, that there are 12,254 victims of childhood sexual abuse in those files, in the perversion files of scout leaders. That's not a number known to us or revealed before. Having heard that testimony and had been, we then looked at what we could do with that and what we needed to do. And knowing that the Child Victims Act has now been passed into law in New York, and knowing that survivors will now be given a voice and are given a voice to bring an action the same way we brought actions against the Boy Scouts of America, the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy, schools, and organizations across this country, survivors in New York are now given that chance, but they don't have that chance to exercise that voice and do it legally until August the 14th. Until August the 14th. When we got this information, we had to sound the alarm. We knew that in New York, as we reviewed these files and distilled this information, there are 130 in New York alone. And in this pamphlet, we've identified from the files that have been made available so far, 130 in New York. And we've identified also the locations in which they were leaders, in which at the time they were removed. The bad news is this is far from a full disclosure of what the Boy Scouts actually knew and is reflected in all the files, because all the files have not been excavated. But this information needs to be known, and we could not wait until August 14th and to sound the alarm and make this information, as alarming as it is, now known. And so I'd like to have you, Bridie Farrell, as a survivor and as an advocate on the ground here in New York, working in this area, address this and how you're reacting to this new information and what we can do.
Hi, good morning, everyone. As Jeff said, my name is Bridie Farrell. I'm the co-founder of New York Loves Kids, and I've been working in New York State working to end child sexual abuse in this state and spread awareness about this epidemic. I came public with my own story of child sexual abuse 6 years ago. I am a native New Yorker. I grew up in Saratoga Springs, and at 15, I was molested by 33-year-old teammate Andy Gable, who was at the time the number one ranked speed skater in the country. He went on to be the president of USA Speed Skating and chairman of the Short Track Technical Committee for the ISU, the International Skating Union. And I say all that as to say that I grew up here in New York, upstate New York. I had a great childhood, all these opportunities, yet I was chosen and preyed upon by a well-known, well-respected individual within our community. There was no reason for my parents not to trust him, because he was vetted by everyone externally. And that's the same thing that we're seeing in institutions across the country. We've seen that a lot to date from the Roman Catholic Church. And as someone who's been talking about child sexual abuse, I've known of the perversion files in the Boy Scouts of America and that problem for years now. Mm-hmm. But when I spoke with Jeff And he told me these numbers of 7,000 and 12,000. I mean, I was shocked. The line was silent, because this is an institution that we trust our children with, right? This is an institution across America that we want people, boys, to be a part of, to help them grow up and be good people. And yet, this same institution held a file of known perpetrators, which didn't disclose to the authorities, which allowed these people to then go on and coach soccer teams, allow them to go on and be teachers. I mean, these people shouldn't work at a McDonald's with a playground, let alone being alone with children on a daily basis. So with the passage of the Child Victims Act, myself and many, many survivors across New York State and the country finally have the opportunity to come forward and in the legal court of law and voice what happened to us and speak our truth and have an element of accountability for the abusers, but also much more importantly, to have systematic change and have it be safer for the next child down the line, whether that's in the Boy Scouts or that's in the speed skating community or the athletic community. So,
The alarming thing about this is not just the numbers, but the fact is that the Boy Scouts of America have never actually released these names in any form that can be known to the public. And they may have removed them from scouting. They may have kept them in their perversion files. But they never alerted the community that this teacher, this coach, this scout leader, who is also a priest or an electrician, is known to them to be a child molester that caused them to keep a perversion file on him. And that is the real alarming fact that needs to be emphasized here today as we disclose 130 names that we know are in their files, which we know there are many more yet to be disclosed and excavated. The good news is the Child Victims Act will give survivors of abuse by scout leaders and protected by the Boy Scouts of America and other institutions like them a chance for a voice and further disclosure of the real peril that exists, not in the past, but in real time. This is a real peril. It's a systemic problem. These are perversion files and secrets held by the Boy Scouts of America across this country. And in New York here, we know of 130. How many more are there right now? Not known and or revealed today. And once we're able to bring these cases under the Child Victims Act, what the survivors will be able to do is reveal the peril as it is today and as it has been. Trusha Goff, why don't you step forward here and tell us more about what we've been unearthing here.
What's really alarming about Janet Warren's testimony is that for the last 5 years, she has been hired by the Boy Scouts to look at these files. And for the last 5 years, she's gathered information about over 12,000 victims and these perpetrators and coded that information. And this is information that the Boy Scouts has and has had for several years, and it's information that they're keeping secret today, right now.
And when she testified, January 30th in a child sex abuse trial, she revealed these numbers to us for the first time, and we got that transcript, and thus we felt we had to move. Thus, we felt we had to investigate this further and discern here in New York how many of these are known offenders removed from the Boy Scouts of America in New York, and who they are and where they're removed from. Thus, we created this list called the Anderson List. This is far from complete, and this work has just begun. This work has just begun. But the disclosure made by Dr. Janet Warren really sounded the alarm to us, how alarming the scope and the magnitude of the problem is here in New York, in the Boy Scouts of America, and is systemic and across this country. Brady Farrell, what else say you on this?
Well, one thing I want to say is, I mean, even in this room today, when I said that I was molested at 15, like there's a, you can feel it in the room. You guys all kind of look up, right? Imagine 12,000 of me. And that's only 12,000 that were identified. So think if we can have any of these survivors that are known to come forward and to find the strength to speak and let their stories be told, that how much more of this community will be able to reach out to and help all of these people heal in their process of recovering from this. One thing that is important to me and that Jeff makes possible for everyone is also the ability, when we say come forward and speak out, you don't have to speak in front of a microphone. And that Jeff has done many cases where people are allowed to remain as Jane and John Doe.
90% of the survivors with whom we work across this country, over 90% of the survivors, maybe 95%, remain silent, remain private. And their identity, Jane Doe and John Doe, is protected legally and for all purposes. They can come forward. Survivors can, under the New York law and the laws across this country, remain private and be confidential, and no, they don't have to stand in front of a microphone or be public with their horror, their rape, or their experience to have their voice and to find their voice. And now in New York, effective August 14th, under the Child Victims Act, take action. Expose their offender and the system that chose to protect that offender. And there is great hope, there is great promise, but there is a great problem, and this is just a part of it that we're revealing here today. Having said that, questions.
So come August 14, what are the opportunities these victims have to find some remedy to?
Question is, come August 14th, under the Child Victims Act in New York, now signed into law, every survivor has an opportunity to bring an action against his or her offender and the institution or system that allowed him to be protected and to access that child. And that can include the Boy Scouts of America, the Boys Clubs of America, the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy, with whom we're very, very familiar, and other institutions like it, and offenders who have never before been revealed as offenders. Because in the Boy Scouts of America, they've kept those perversion files and their identities since 1944 secret until those files got revealed through litigation. But litigation has never been available to survivors in New York. And I and my firm have been bringing cases since the mid-80s in New York for survivors, all of which were dismissed on the statutes of limitations. The statute of limitations in New York has now been removed by the legislature and signed into law by the governor. And survivors now have a chance to have that voice heard, acknowledged, affirmed, believed, supported, and takes feel his or her offender in the community and the system and the institution that chose to protect that offender, which includes the Boy Scouts of America, which includes the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy, which includes schools and private schools and public schools and other institutions across this country that have yet to be exposed. And that is good news. And in that, there's great promise.
Right, so the question is, what is it like as a survivor to come forward and confront my abuser or
right,
an abuser?
Or the future people.
On yeah, so in answer to that question, one, as a survivor of child sexual abuse, I never thought I would speak publicly to a room of people that would actually listen, right? So one, the idea that my experiences are being heard and validated is a monumental shift in my life, and I believe it will be in anyone else's that chooses to come forward and however they choose to come forward. What was very personally, what was very hard for me was I came forward and accused my abuser, Andy Gable. The following day in the Chicago Tribune, he acknowledged it. And nothing happened. And to me, that message said, and I was maybe 30 or so when I came forward. To me, that message said, anyone that speaks up, nothing's going to happen. This guy admitted it and nothing changed. So to me, that made the situation worse. But we fought and we fought and we fought and we fought. And now any of people like myself, any survivors can come forward and say this happened and have change take place, right? And it's not about holding the one troop leader, the one priest, the one coach, the one Larry Nassar. It's about how are these organizations moving these players, these pieces on a chessboard around to harm our communities? And how is that made possible? And who are the adults sitting behind the desk making these calculated decisions? I mean, we have it in codes now, right? Like, so I think the opportunity for people to come forward, it's healing and it's empowering to be able to call out your abuser. It's also super empowering to know that you are making true systemic change, and that is how we're going to change it. And it's not an issue of, you know, if you want to make your street safer, you don't have your pedestrians wear helmets. Like, let's teach people to drive safer. That's what we're trying to do, and for a cultural change, and that's what the Child Victims Act will allow people.
So you're saying, Bridie Farrell, as a survivor advocate, the law opening up gives you and the other survivors to come forward privately, but to have the power to do something about what was done to them as a child, and to do something to protect other kids. And that's what survivors with whom we work,
across
and thousands
the board.
Across this country,
yeah.
want first. I want to do something to protect other kids, and I also want to be believed. I yeah. want my voice to be heard. I want to be able to speak it, but I want to protect other kids. And that's what we hear every day from every survivor, Bridie Farrell, and all those like them, whether it's the Boy Scouts, the Roman Catholic Church, or any other institution or caregiving institution. We want to protect other kids, and the way that happens is to give the survivors the opportunity to identify the offender, if still alive, where the offender is in that community, so the risk can be abated and removed, and the institution that made the choice to protect that offender can be held accountable and responsible for the first time, certainly in New York.
And also what we see is someone speaks up who will, someone will come forward who's 50 years old and say, I was abused by this man who's now 80. And then someone will come up who's 40. Or, sorry, take that back example. But say someone will come forward and say, I was abused by this person. And then someone was 20 years ago. Someone will say, I was 10 years ago. Someone will say, I was five. Someone will be like, it's still happening to me, right? And that's where we can change the way things happen. Like, these aren't one and done mistake kind of guys. This is systemic behavioral problems. And so giving the voice to one person is, you know, when you have one person in a lawsuit or something of this nature, it's not one person. It's, I mean, turn around and there's literally thousands of people behind. So I think that looking at it from a macro scale, you see how much that impact can have.
Counselor, have you been in direct contact with any of these victims?
We represent victims across this country, and we have and are representing a number of survivors of abuse by scout leaders and scout masters. And we're ready to take action. And in New York, we'll take action as soon as the law allows in August, but have already brought multiple actions across the Boy Scouts of America, across the country, in various states.
Are in the perversion file?
Yes.
What did they say to you about this August 14th date or any hesitation up until now?
Well, what the survivors have been saying to us, first about the opening of the law, is it's the first chance for their voice to be heard and to take action, because the survivors in New York with whom we've worked since 1985, every case was thrown out on the statute of limitations, thrown out. And so their voice was suppressed. And now the survivors are given a chance to have an opportunity to be believed and feel a great sense of empowerment that they've never had before, because they're given this chance to have this voice that had been so suppressed for so long, for so many years, first by the offender and then by the law that didn't allow it to be heard, to be spoken, to be acknowledged, or to be believed. So it is a really important time. This is alarming information that we're sharing today. And as we get more information about the Boy Scouts of America and other institutions like that, we will be bringing this forth. We could not wait till August to get this information out. And today, we're grateful to Bridie Farrell and all the courageous survivors who over the years who have had the courage to share this secret with us and take some action, even though the courthouse doors to them have been closed by so many states by so long. The good news is New York has opened it up. Others are doing the same, New Jersey and California as well. So to the courageous survivors that are beginning to share their secret and take some action, we express great gratitude, because every time a survivor speaks his or her truth and identifies that offender or that system that protected that offender, children are protected, and that's why we assembled here today. Thank you all.
To your knowledge, has any of the men listed here been criminally charged or any lawsuits brought against any of the men that you've listed or people identified?
The information that we got and assembled from the combing of the files in New York here, we haven't had the opportunity, because we just got this in January 30th. To do the due diligence about the who, what, where, when, and how. But that's a work in progress. But the information we have today is what we have. More to come.
Just to clarify, the perversion files, the names in those files are men or women scout leaders who were accused of sexual abuse while on the job at the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts then removed them, but rather than taking those names to local authorities, hid the names.
Well,
did they keep any employed after allegations came forward? Do you sort of know that?
Well, here's what we do know. We know that the Boy Scouts of America have been keeping the perversion files. And that we also know that when there's an allegation, an investigation, there's a file kept on that scout leader. In some instances, they're kept there. In other instances, they're removed. And how many times they're reported to the police, we don't know. What we know is that as we've been excavating these files, and now there are 5,000 that have been posted publicly, but according to this, there are 7,819. We don't know where they are. We don't know if they got reported. We don't know who all they are. We don't know if the police know. We don't know if they're still scout leaders and scout masters. All we know is that the Boy Scouts of America know, and they chose to keep that secret. That's what we know.
Or just to play devil's advocate, are you concerned about publishing a list like this without knowing more of the information?
We're always concerned about publishing the names of offenders that have been removed from positions of authority. But if we're going to make a mistake, I want that mistake to be in the protection of the children, and not the protection of an offender who's likely to hurt another kid. That's the choice we make every day.
So can you elaborate a bit on the criteria for inclusion in the perversion files? Is this people who are included, is that just people against whom an allegation has been made or against whom allegations have been substantiated?
The decisions are made by the Boy Scouts of America at the national level, and they are the ones that, when they learn of the molestation of children, are the ones that prepare the perversion file. They're the ones that house that file in Texas. They're the ones that keep that file. They're the ones that have kept them secret. They're the ones that refuse to disclose them until the courts, through litigation brought by survivors, started to force those files out. So they're their files, not our files. And they named them perversion files, yeah, too. So.
So these cases go back as far as 1944?
Yeah, the files were actually kept as early as 1944. The audit that Dr. Janet Warren has been doing for 5 years didn't tell us, and we don't know exactly how far back her audit goes. We just know that she identified 7,800 perpetrators. We know that she identified 12,254 victims in those files, and how far back she went, and they know, we don't know yet. I don't have the answer to that today, but I will have more answers tomorrow as we progress and as the Child Victims Act allows survivors to share this secret and to reveal this painful and alarming hazard that exists and has continued to exist for so long. Thank you to you, Bridie Farrell, and all the survivors that give us this chance to stand and share this sorrow and alert these communities in and around New York. Thank you all.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.